Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a teaching that I've entitled, How to Fulfill God's Will. Boy, this is so important for every single one of you. You know, God made every one of you on purpose. You aren't a mistake. You aren't an afterthought. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You have to find it. You have to follow it. And now I'm talking about how do you fulfill it? How do you follow God over a long period of time? And you know, this is something that I have seen in a lot of people's lives. I've seen people that got excited about God and started out with God and were doing good, but it's just like they can't finish. You know, I ran track when I was in high school, and I remember one time they had me running these sprints, these 50-yard sprints, and I did it, but I never cared much for it. I found out later I was more equipped for a distance runner than anything else. And finally, they put me into a cross-country race, which I think was a 3.2-mile race or something like that. But all I'd ever run was these 50-yard sprints before. And so they just stuck me in this race, and I hadn't trained for it. I had never run a distance race in my life. And you know what? When we started, when they fired the gun, all of these other guys were pacing themselves, and they were just going slow. And I thought, man, there's nothing to this. I ran a 50-yard dash, gave it everything I had, and I was leading the pack. And about 100 yards into the race, everybody passed me, and I thought I was going to die before I finished that race and crossed the line. I started good, but you know what? It was just I just drug across the finish line in that thing because I didn't understand how to run that race. And I see a lot of people in their relationship with the Lord that they get excited about God, and man, they are just, I mean, ecstatic. And to everybody's view, it looks like, man, they're just awesome. And I've seen those people rise and fall just as quickly as they came. You know, I've been in ministry now for 42 years, and I've traveled to some places. I went to a church in Shreveport, Louisiana for 20 years. I've been going to Charlotte, North Carolina for 22 years to the same church. I've gone to some churches for years and even decades. And you go and you see these people who are so excited about the Lord, and then you go back the next year and you don't see them and you ask about them and you find out that they aren't even serving the Lord today. And I've seen this happen a lot, that people found God's will, embraced it, got excited, started in that direction, but were unable to fulfill God's will. And I tell you, that's tragic. In a way, you know, the Bible talks about it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's like the pig that was washed going back and wallowing in the mire. How could you come out of all of these things that, you know, are outside of the Lord, outside of Christ, and then experience this joy and go back into it? And yet it happens constantly. There are reasons why it happens. Matter of fact, it's become such a common occurrence in the body of Christ that people aren't able to maintain their relationship with God and their zeal for God. It's become so common that there's even doctrines written about it. There, I've heard sermons before about, you know, the honeymoon period is over. There are songs about how that, you know, they've actually embraced it and made doctrines and talked about that you're on a mountaintop, but the fruit grows in the valley, and so God is going to lead you into hurt and pain and discouragement because it's down here in the valley where all the moisture is and all the fruit grows. And they've tried to embrace this and make a doctrine out of it. It's obvious, I believe every person watching this can relate to the fact that it seems like, here's another doctrine that I've heard people preach, that we're leaky vessels. We're like a bucket with holes in it, and we just leak out. The power and the anointing and the joy of God leaks out of us, and we've got to constantly be refilled. You'll hear people have a double portion night and talk about how you got to come up and be refilled again and get filled again. And there's people that have made doctrines out of this. You know, I held a meeting in Kentucky one time, Louisville, Kentucky, and I was preaching on the love of God. I started on a Wednesday night and it went through Sunday night. And on Sunday morning, a woman came up to me and she was crying and she said, "This has just touched my life like nothing else ever had." She understood the love of God for her, the grace of God. She said she was happier than she had ever been in her life. And she was giving this tremendous testimony. But in the midst of it, she says, "I know it won't last long, probably in a week or two or a month. I'll be back to where I was. But right now, I'm just really enjoying this." And when that woman said that, boy, it just grieved me. I mean, it really bothered me that a person who was experiencing God's love was anticipating that in just a week or two or a month, it'd be over. And that they'd be back to just walking in discouragement and in defeat. And I mean, it kind of made me mad. But at the same time, like I was just saying, I've traveled for 40-something years. I've seen this happen hundreds and thousands of times. And by observation, that is the way it is with most people. And so it kind of made me mad and at the same time just grieved me because why is it this way? And, you know, as I thought on this, I can truthfully say that when the Lord touched my life, March the 23rd, 1968, He lit a fire on the inside of me that has never gone out. I am more excited about God today than I was 42 years ago. I am seeking God more than I was. I have not lost my zeal, and I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying it just to be thankful to God. And when this lady was sharing this with me and anticipating that she would be empty and dry within just a short period of time, I went back to my motel room that afternoon and I remember praying and saying, "God, I know it doesn't have to be this way because it's not that way with me." And I got to saying, "What is it that you have done in my life? What has happened to me that has kept me from losing the joy of my salvation and leaving my first love?" And I just asked the Lord to reveal to me. I knew that there had to be a reason for it. What is it? And I was praying, and the Lord led me to these verses in Romans chapter 1 and taught me some things. And I'm going to not teach this whole thing. I've got an entire series on how to stay full of God that will go into a lot more detail. But I just want to pull out some truths here and apply it directly to how to fulfill God's will. Not only how to find and start following, but then how do you stay steady? How do you fulfill it? How do you cross the finish line? And I want to share some truths with you here that are just powerful. And I got this in response to this woman telling me that she knew she was going to lose it. And the Lord spoke to me and showed me that even though I hadn't taken it from these verses, that what God had done in my life to keep me on track and following Him and keep the joy of the Lord strong in my life was right here in these verses in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to specifically deal with Romans chapter 1, verse 21. But first of all, let me put it in its context. And Paul had just said in the 16th verse of Romans chapter 1 that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And that word gospel is a cliche to us and to most people. It doesn't mean much, but it literally means good news. Or I believe if you were to study it out, you could actually say it's nearly too good to be true news. There's just not anything in this world that's nearly too good to be true except that God gave us everything that He has by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Anyway, that was a radical truth. And because of it, Paul knew that people were going to say, "But wait a minute, you have to know about the wrath of God." And so right after he made this bold statement, he said in verses 18 through 20 that you don't have to preach on the wrath of God because the wrath of God is revealed. And if you study this out in the Greek, it literally is in the tense that it means it's already revealed. This is something that's already revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. In other words, you don't have to tell people how much of a sinner they are. They may try and whitewash themselves on the outside so that they can look good to other people, but on the inside, every person knows that they have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person. And there's people that will try and portray something different, say that they don't have any conviction that there is a God, they don't have any fear of God. Their actions might be saying that, but I guarantee you, you put a gun to their head and they're going to cry out to this God that they don't believe that exists. Every single person knows that there's a God, and every person it says that God has revealed himself from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. Again, some people will profess that that's not true, but it's a lie. This is the truth. Every sin, everything, people know it's wrong. Now, it goes on in this chapter to talk about that if you resist and fight against this conviction that God's placed on the inside of every person, and if you do it long enough, you can become reprobate. And the word reprobate here is talking about God takes all conviction away from you, and you can reach a place to where you literally have no conviction and no sense of right and wrong, but nobody starts that place. You can harden your heart to such a degree that God will just let you go and you become reprobate and you are beyond help. But nobody started that way. Every single person, this is saying that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. In other words, God is the creator. And on the inside of every one of his creation, he put a homing device, a little intuitive knowledge of right and wrong, showing them that this is wrong. You shouldn't go this way. You need forgiveness. It's something that brings us back to God. And this explains why so few people like to be still. Most people, especially before they get born again, they just constantly have to have the TV blaring or the radio blaring or something going, or with their friends. They can't stand to be alone. They're bored and they just can't stand it. You know why most people, according to Psalms 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Why most people don't like to be still? Because when you get still, this little homing device begins to start beeping and going off and saying, "Is this all that there is? You know, the way you're living isn't right." And you go to getting convicted and your conscience begins to start dealing with you. And so the approach that most people take is to go drown it out. Go put on some music. Go watch something that'll take your attention away from what God is trying to say. Go surround yourself with friends that will reaffirm the wrong values that you've embraced. But when they get by themselves, on the inside, it says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, not manifest to them, but in them. God has placed this on the inside. He has shown it unto them. And then in verse 20 it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." In other words, this isn't something that's hard to grab hold of. Again, every person on their deepest level, their heart level, knows that there is only one God and that you are not him. Every person knows that. You can say what you want to, but this is absolutely true. "The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is no one who's ever going to stand before God and say, "But oh God, I didn't know." You may not have heard the gospel preached through me or somebody who was telling you it was Jesus who died on the cross and risen from the dead. You may not get every detail, but I guarantee you, there is not a single person who has ever breathed on this planet that does not know that there is a God, that they are accountable to that God, and that they need to reconcile themselves unto God. That has been clearly shown to every person, and no person will ever stand before God and say, "Oh God, I didn't know. It's not fair." If nothing else, they'll be judged according to this intuitive knowledge on the inside of them. Well, this is so profound. I remember when I was in Vietnam, I had atheists come up to me and say that there is no God. And I'd try and talk to them and they'd just, "Oh, I don't have no conviction. Nothing I'm doing is wrong. It doesn't matter how I live." And they would say one thing, but then the bombs would get to dropping and the bullets would fly. And you know what? These same people who said that they were atheists, you could hear them in the next foxhole over there crying out to this God that they didn't believe in and repenting. There are no atheists in foxholes. Every person knows that there's a God. This is what these verses are saying. And now we come to verse 21. This is the verse that the Lord used to explain to me how you maintain and keep on track with the things of God, how you fulfill God's will. And it says in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God," and those previous verses show that there is a time that every person on the deepest level knows that there's a God. They knew about God, at least to some degree. because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then in verse 22, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they walked away from this truth. And the rest of this chapter shows progressive steps that a person can take away from this intuitive knowledge of God. And if you deny it often enough, if you say, no, I refuse to respond to God, no, I refuse to do what's right, I'm going to do it my way. And if you do that often enough, you can deaden yourself to this conviction. And ultimately, this chapter talks about a person becoming reprobate, where God takes away all of his conviction of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 6, verse 44, I believe it is, says that no man can come unto the Lord except the Spirit draw him. You can't come unto God just when you want to. You can't do it on your own. Your nature is not to seek after God. If you have any conviction over your actions, if you have any drawing towards the Lord, it's because of the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you deny that often enough, if you say no, if you just keep putting him off, like, you know, the Roman ruler says, you know, some other time when it's more convenient, I'll call for you. And you just keep pushing the Lord aside in your life. There's no guarantee that he's going to knock another time, another 100 times, another 1,000 times. We serve a gracious God that, I mean, is merciful to people, but he's long-suffering. He's not forever suffering. If you just continually renounce or deny the Lord, there's no guarantee. There is no obligation on God's part to keep asking. And you know, you can reach a place to where you just cross a line and you have deadened yourself to God so much that he withdraws the Holy Spirit. And once that happens, you cannot come to God on your deathbed. Wait till the last moment, just whenever you want to. You have to come while he's drawing you. And what are these progressive steps? In verse 21, it starts showing you what they were. First of all, they didn't glorify God as God. The second thing, they weren't thankful. The third thing, their imagination became vain. And the fourth thing, their foolish heart was darkened. Now, these are talking about the progressive steps that we take away from God that hardens our heart and makes us insensitive towards God. But what I want to do is turn this around and use them in a positive way. If you do the opposite of these things, instead of not glorifying God, if you were to glorify God, if you were to be thankful, if you were to let your imagination just run wild with the things of God and not let your heart be hardened towards God, then you would never lose this freshness of what God has done in your life. You would never leave your first love. And this is what the Lord began to speak to me. Again, that instance that I spoke about where this woman was so full of the love of God but says, I know it won't last, and in a week or two I'll be back to where I was. It doesn't have to be that way. If she would glorify God, be thankful for the revelation that God has given her, and use her imagination properly, her heart would stay sensitive to God, and she would be able to just improve on this. Instead of things, you know, like there being an expiration date on the things of God, or the potency decreases over time, it really should just be the opposite. That what God does in your life gets sweeter every single day. It gets stronger every single day. You know, I can truthfully say this is my testimony, that what God did in my life, March the 23rd, 1968, is stronger today than it was 42 years ago. That's a powerful statement. It's different. You know, I've matured. It's like a husband and a wife when they get married. Man, you do these silly things. Like Jamie and I used to take a spoon, and we'd look at that spoon, turn it around to the backside and look at ourselves in it and laugh and turn it around. And we just did silly things. I'd chase her through the house and, you know, we did a lot of silly things. We loved each other. And I still love her. I love her a lot more today, but it's been decades since we've looked at each other in a spoon. And it's changed. I'm not the same as I was 42 years ago with the Lord, but it's changed, but it's not worse. I hadn't lost anything. It's better. I've matured in it, but it's impacted me much more. And I can truthfully say that what God did in my life 42 years ago has not leaked out. You know, I sometimes have a hard time relating to so much of the music and the preaching and stuff that's gone on, because it's just desperate, like, oh, God, fill me again. And I'm not denying the fact that this is the experience of a lot of people, and I'm not condemning anybody who's been there. But to portray it as this is the way it has to be, to me, is an insult against the Lord. And I hear so much preaching about, you know, you need a new touch and we all go through the valley and all of this stuff. They're, in a sense, validating that and saying this is the way it has to be. I admit that that's the way it is with a lot of people, but no, it does not have to be that way. This is telling you exactly why people who had a revelation of God at one time lost it and walked away from it, because they failed to do these things. So therefore, all we've got to do is turn this around and not fail to do these things. And as we follow these guidelines, then you can stay full of God. You can fulfill God's will. You can finish your course. You can cross the finish line. I guarantee it. I hadn't crossed the finish line in my own life, but I've been at it for 42 years, and I'm testifying that it's as strong and stronger than it's ever been. And I believe I've got enough experience under my belt to say that I know it's working. And you can fulfill God's will if you'll follow these guidelines. I'm only going to have a minute or two to introduce this. We'll continue this on my program tomorrow. But the very first thing that it talks about is, it says that they didn't glorify Him as God when they knew Him. And you know, when I first read this, the other three things that are listed in this verse, I immediately identified with, and I could see applications, and it just immediately clicked with me. But this first one, when it says that they didn't glorify Him as God when they knew Him, at first that stumped me. So what I did was go to these Greek words and look them up, and the word glorify in the Greek means to render or esteem glorious. And that didn't help me a bit, because it used the same word to define it. And so I just kept looking. What I did was turn to a dictionary, and I started looking up to render or esteem. And when I got to the word esteem and looked it up, the word esteem means to value or prize, to put worth on. And as I began to look at that, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to start showing me what He was talking about right here. And this is really powerful. But whether you realize it or not, you place value on every person, on everything that comes into your life. Most of you haven't sat down and thought about it this way, but like this television program, there are some people that see it and they just flip through and they don't place any value on it. There's other people that see it and they have tapped into it and they have value on it. I just got a testimony from a 78-year-old woman yesterday who was so enthralled with the programs, and she was watching this little testimony I played about Hannah Terades, that she watched the first day installment. It was going to be concluded the next day. She went for a dental appointment to get her teeth cleaned, and the dentist was late taking her in. Therefore, she would have missed my program. And in the middle of getting her teeth cleaned, she says, "I've got an appointment." And she got up and walked out so she could be home and watch that. And she got healed miraculously by doing it. See, she placed a value on this program, what God was doing through it to her, that a lot of people don't. And you do this not only with television, but every decision that comes your way every single day. I'm out of time today, but I will continue this on our programs next week, so I encourage you to listen in, and please listen to our announcer as he gives you information about how you can receive these materials.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Fulfill God's Will was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD, as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Run with Patience, free of charge. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order.
Again, I'd like to remind you that we have taken these three teachings on how to find God's will, how to follow God's will, and how to fulfill God's will, and we put them into a package, what we call God's Will Package. And there's a total of 15 teachings on either CD or DVD, and then also we're including with it this DVD that has five testimonies of people who have found God's will, who are following it, and fulfilling God's will. And I tell you, this is inspirational. It'll fire you up. And so you're going to get the Word that will teach you how to do it. You will get testimonies of people who are doing it. And together, I believe that this package will make a tremendous impact. We've discounted it to the lowest price that we possibly could, and I encourage you to please call or write and receive this God's Will Package today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, October 3rd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th.
This Bible teacher started with the simple message of God's unconditional love and grace. For years, he and his wife duplicated teaching tapes in their own home. He went on radio and often gave his teachings away to those who asked for them. Years later, a small building was needed to house a few volunteers and employees. The ministry grew until it was bursting at the seams. Soon, the next 15,000 square foot building became too small as a Bible college and television ministry were launched. Today, a 110,000 square foot building is running out of room. 157 acres have been purchased to accommodate the growth, but the message remains the same. It's the gospel truth. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in the message of God's unconditional love and grace.